Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, News Radio. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, 810 here. And we always like to talk to Julio Diaz. He is the host of the Pensacola Movie Club on Facebook. They watch movies on Thursdays and then talk about them. It's a cool project. And also, Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio. You can listen to that show. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, is that what y'all watched last night?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, I know it's a Ghostbusters movie, but I have not seen any ads for this. Probably my fault. What is it?
I don't know how you haven't seen any ads for this because they have advertised it pretty thoroughly. They've been running trailers for, seems like close to a year now. This was one that was actually...
I'm ignorant. It's fine. You can say it outright. Go on.
No, this is actually supposed to have come out a few months ago, and it's one of the ones that they pushed back because of the strikes and kind of like Dune 2. So we did get kind of an extended advertising period on this. But this is obviously the latest Ghostbusters movie. It follows up on Ghostbusters Afterlife, which came out a couple of years ago. So this is in the same continuity going back to the original Ghostbusters movie. There's only been one Ghostbusters movie that is outside that, and that's the one that they retroactively subtitled Answer the Call that had the all-female Ghostbusters.
That's the Girls Busters movie. Okay, all
right,
gotcha.
Right. Other than that, we're still in the same universe going back to the original Ghostbusters. There's callbacks to the original movie. All of the surviving stars from the original movie, except Rick Moranis, who doesn't bother with anything. And Sigourney Weaver's not in it either, but the three main guys and of course, Janine Melnitz is back as well, the Annie Potts character. They all have small to medium sized roles in the film, but we're really focused on the kind of the family that was formed in Ghostbusters Afterlife. So you have Carrie Coon, who is Egon's daughter, and then Egon's two grandkids, who are played by McKenna Grace and Finn Wolfhard. And in Afterlife, she started a relationship with their science teacher, played by Paul Rudd, and he's kind of become they're not married, he's not really their stepfather, but he's like the father figure of the family.
Okay.
So they've moved to New York City. They live in the firehouse, and they are the Ghostbusters team.
Okay. So is it good? Is it funny?
It is. The reviews are not great on it. It's only rating 44% on Rotten Tomatoes, but I don't understand why, because I did think it was funny. It's got some great set pieces. It definitely follows up. We see some other characters that we've seen from throughout the Ghostbusters series. And, I thought it was a fun story. And,
okay.
I don't understand what the problem is here. I had a lot of fun with this movie. Yeah, I could nitpick it. But why would I?
At your phase in movie knowledge, anything can be nitpicks. You got to learn how to turn that off sometimes to just enjoy a movie, as you like to call it, big dumb fun. And yeah, that's an important thing. Also, we have a couple of I notice a theme here. The week before Easter, and we have some spooky spiritual movies: Ghostbusters, Immaculate, and Late Night with the Devil. How does Immaculate look like?
So Immaculate is a horror movie starring Sydney Sweeney as a nun. So, typecasting.
Yeah, right within her wheelhouse.
Yeah. But she plays a nun who goes off to a convent that is apparently also some kind of hospice for elderly nuns, and turns out to be pregnant in an apparently immaculate conception situation. It is much, much worse than that, because
sure,
this is a horror movie. I don't want to spoil anything, but I will go so far as to say this is not your typical Catholicism demonic possession kind of movie. There is something different at play here.
And at the very least, we want people to know that it's just not a story about the Virgin Mary.
yeah, and it does apparently get pretty gory, but it is also getting very good reviews. And I did talk to someone who saw it last night and said it was pretty great. So if you like horror movies, running 77% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And last one, Late Night with the Devil?
So this is a really interesting concept. I've been wanting to see this film for a while. It got some really good buzz out of festivals, and I'm going to try to get to see it on Saturday. This stars David Dastmalchian, who's a pretty well-known character actor. He's been in, a ton of stuff that, he's one of those guys when you see him, you'll know who he is. But he plays a late-night talk show host in the 70s. He was kind of this character is meant to have been a rival to Johnny Carson, who just was trying really hard but never could, because nobody could beat Carson back in the day.
Right.
He was one of the ones that tried. He had a syndicated show, and his ratings started to drop after a divorce, and he was trying everything he could to goose them. And then he had this one really memorable episode on Halloween night in 1977. And this is the behind the scenes and found footage of that episode.
On
which things apparently go terribly, terribly awry in the parts that were not originally screened to the public.
Gotcha.
Getting outstanding reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, running around 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
Like I said, there was a lot of buzz on this out of festivals. It is getting a release from Shudder, so if you have that streaming service, it will probably be on that streaming service within a couple of weeks. And I have talked to somebody who said it might even play a little better on TV because it's made for the original
streaming,
TV aspect ratio.
Okay.
Supposed to be outstanding. And like I said, I'm been looking forward to seeing this for a while. And if I hadn't felt obligated
to see Ghostbusters.
Talk about Ghostbusters, because I know a lot of people are going to be interested in that film, that would have been what I would have chosen to see. Although Ghostbusters ended up out being a lot of fun too, so I'm not upset that I saw it.
What are you guys going to watch next week?
The big one next week is, and I say this with pun fully intended, is Godzilla X Kong. the latest. This time they're going to team up and be buddies. Last time they fought, this time they're going to team up and fight something else.
As is normal. So, this is how these things go. Have you not seen the Fast and Furious series?
Exactly.
Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola on Saturday at 4 and of the Pensacola Movie Club, a founder and host of that on Facebook. Follow them, go see movies, go talk about movies, and listen tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Julio, as always, thank you for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, and now I want to see Godzilla and Kong race cars.
And take down tanks and planes and Russian airstrips. Absolutely. Julio, thanks, man. Jake's got traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, we're not looking too bad on our roadways this morning. Looking at the accident that we had earlier on Barrancas, that is getting cleared up. That's between H and I streets on Barrancas. We had a vehicle crash there that was blocking both lanes, east and westbound, but I think they've got that cleared up now. Westbound on Fairfield this morning at Hollywood, we had an accident earlier that was slowing some things down, but I think they're getting that cleared as well. Looking elsewhere around town, not really seeing anything. On Chemukla Highway at Education Drive in Milton, we do have a vehicle crash with roadblock that just popped up there. That's going to be Chemukla Highway, Education Drive in Pace. Otherwise, Highway 98 through Gulf Breeze and Navarre is actually really, really smooth this morning. Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace, not seeing any problems there. Highway 29 South is clear through Cantonment and Inslee. And Chase Street, Gregory Street, Garden Street, Palafox, all checking in good. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here, the Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before pep talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Oskari Leitinen, the Finlandian researcher at the University of Turku, who recently published a paper in the Scandinavian Journal of Psychology demonstrating a correlation between belief in our holy system of critical social justice and feeling anxious, depressed, and unhappy. The study even said explicitly that lower mental health correlates with accepting the truth of wokeism as well with being on the political left. But of course, this comes as no surprise at all. The purpose of wokeosity is not to feel safe, cheerful, and happy. The purpose of wokeosity is to feel virtuous, proud, and superior. We are working to fix the world, not trying to be smiley-faced ambassadors of sunshine. And what better way to prove that you are doing right in the world than that you experience misery because of it? As the anti-Bible says, Gaia loves a miserable giver. The egoism paradox teaches us that we can only feel happy when we are doing things that benefit ourselves, which is how we can tell that we are being selfish. Logically, then, the best way to be certain that we are selflessly sacrificing ourselves for the good of all is by finding ourselves to be as anxious, depressed, and unhappy as possible. We accomplish this in part by continuously finding ways to be dissatisfied with the status quo, feeling guilty over things we cannot control, and by creating problems so mind-blowingly large that the only rational response to them is doubt, anguish, and reducing ourselves to puddles of immobilizing, quivering despair. The physically self-flagellating monks of the Middle Ages have nothing on us. We have raised value-based, self-inflicted psychological misery to an art form. So it's not so much that these Scandinavian researchers have produced a study with false conclusions in showing that wokeists are unhappy, it's that they've committed the classic blunder of making that sound like a bad thing. As the very existence of the busybodies ecumenical North American General Society, BNAGS for short, reminds us, always obsessing about everyone else's business in the name of selfless concern is a fantastic way to never be happy. And we here now and forevermore vow to be as unhappy as we must be in order to spread our misery to as many other people as we possibly can. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Jana Hocking, the sexually adventurous dating columnist for the Australian web news service news.com.au, after this week's inadvertently repressive column entitled, quote, "How to Keep Your Body Count Low While Still Having Lots of Sex," end quote. Now, normally, we love Jana because in every column, she teaches the modern woman to reject traditional sexual norms such as monogamy, fidelity, and chastity. However, this week's column has shown us that she has taken a terrible turn down the dark alley of unintentional patriarchy reinforcement. The advice from this week's column is that instead of quickly jumping into the sack with every new man who seems interesting to you, it's smarter to recycle your old sexual partners as a way of simply getting your sexual needs met by former lovers who are, quote, "the perfect combination of kind and sweet and mighty fine in bed, but certainly not boyfriend material," whatever that distinction means. She says repeatedly engaging in attachment-free repetition of sex with a small selection of former flames keeps her from too quickly having sex with new men and allows her to really focus on whether they are good companions instead. It also avoids the concern of inviting someone potentially dangerous into her boudoir simply because she is overly eager for physical gratification. The prior partners on her recycle list are, of course, known and safe. Now, obviously, the main problem here is that Hawking has implicitly reinforced the patriarchal demonization of healthy female libido and the unjust oppression of the promiscuous woman by starting from the premise that having a high body count is a bad thing. But we say the only way a girl can know she's been liberated from the patriarchal repression of women is to have as much reckless sex as possible. By slut-shaming the many lovered high body count women who read her column, she's simply inflicted the ancient misogyny upon them afresh. But it's worse than that. Hawking appears to be endorsing sexually stable relationships in which the participants know, like, and trust each other, and therefore have highly satisfying repeated sexual encounters built on familiarity and security. As several critics of her column noted, she seems to be celebrating the discovery of marriage. Now, granted, she's only endorsing a small-scale polygamy of sorts, say, trigamy, with three former partners, and yeah, she is still not granting them any sort of permanence or exclusivity in their pleasure rights over her. But carried to its logical extreme, she is clearly implying that lower numbers are better, and the lowest non-zero number of all is one. After all, if greater happiness can be found in repeated encounters with just a few former partners over a long time, perhaps the best happiness of all could be found in repeated encounters with the one single, kind, sweet man who is good in bed and is happy to meet her needs on the regular. Her entire line of reasoning sounds scandalously like the preamble of an ode to monogamous marriage. If 10 is better than 20 and 3 is better than 10, why wouldn't 1 be better than 3? No, Jenna Hawking. Monogamy is a tool of the patriarchy and runs the very real danger of making both men and women evolve together into deep and meaningful, mutually sacrificial relationships once they're freed from the dangers and pitfalls of continuously having to find new romantic partners. And we cannot have that. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we want to express our deep appreciation to the thought leaders at the Mississippi University for Women who have decided after 140 years to change their name from this highly gendered reaffirmation of sexual binarism to something much more modern and inclusive and hard to pronounce, the Winbridge State University of Mississippi, or as the students refer to it, the W. Just because that W no longer stands for women but for Winbridge, that's important to remember. Not only does this change end the long-standing participation of the W in perpetuating the two-sex error so endemic in our transphobic society, but it finally brings into practice the obvious fact that men have been attending the Mississippi University for Women since 1982. In fact, 22% of the students were assigned male at birth and prefer the pronouns he, him, and his. Our one note of regret over this choice to degender the school name is that for those men who attended the W previously, they at least learned a little tiny slice of what it's like to experience gender marginalization as men enrolled at a university for women. But knowing how impossible it is to actually teach men to understand the woman's true perspective, perhaps it's better to just fix the gender issue, remove the gender distinctions, and go for the now gender-neutral name. So good for you, the W, for fostering sexual unity by eliminating the reminder of sexual differences altogether. Surely that will do the trick. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
As you depart today, please note that visitation times for Mary Inkinger have been changed from weekdays 10 to 4 to Tuesday from 10:15 to 10:19 a.m. As you all know, Mary has been bedridden ever since the emotionally distressing encounter she had at the park when a total stranger, a man, smiled at her, began talking with her, and told her she was pretty. How dare he? The idea that an enlightened woman like Mary might be evaluated for her physical attractiveness in a positive manner by a stranger of the opposite sex was so upsetting to her that she shrieked, ran home, and hasn't been able to keep down solid foods ever since. Please also say a mantra for the man who so violently assaulted her with his words. The authorities have been unable to locate him, but we will keep searching. In the meantime, 4 minutes of human interaction per week is all Mary can endure at this point in her recovery. Refreshments this week are provided by Hop, Skip, and Jumper Cables, the snack company for people on the go who want to use the clean energy from their electric vehicles to fry up a delicious snack of voltage-enhanced split pea curd, celery marmalade, or fried alfalfa sprouts. It's refreshingly green food made just for you, by you, when you power up your green vehicles. You'll definitely have time to make more than one batch.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
All right, Jake, we're a little bit late to traffic, but it's only because we were enjoying our celery marmalade.
Exactly. Tasty bean curd.
Electrified bean curd.
Voltage enhanced.
That's right.
This traffic report brought to you by Knox Pest Control. Not seeing any major accidents or slowdowns on our roadways. If you have anything to report, let us know. You can call or text 437-1620. Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit KnoxPest.com. Knocks them out. I'm Jake Walker, Traffic on Fast.
Coming up next, we got The Wrap. John Hutchinson and Steve Stroberger will join us. David Wayne will have all of your local news, including the drama surrounding the Board of County Commissioners and the Escambia Children's Trust yesterday.
News, I'm Therese Crowley. This is Communism in America. Donald Trump posting on Truth Social with a deadline Monday for what he calls a crazy demand from a political hack judge to come up with more than $450 million bond to appeal his New York real estate judgment. The Biden reelection campaign crowing. They have three times the cash on hand as Trump for reelection. But his approval numbers making President Biden vulnerable to third party candidate RFK Jr., who's set to launch a Latino outreach, Viva Kennedy, echoing his uncle, President JFK. A crowd of 300 migrants barrel through razor wire and National Guard troops at El Paso.
Several soldiers were assaulted. We did make several arrests for that, and there is more arrests and more charges to come. But that clearly shows, Laura, that we need to have consequences.
Texas DPS Lieutenant Chris Olivares on Fox's The Ingram Angle. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's 59 right now, mostly cloudy in Pensacola. The Escambia County Board of Commissioners say the Escambia Children's Trust owes over $1 million in back taxes. The county says the Children's Trust has not been contributing tax increment revenues back into the county's redevelopment trust funds. The trust, though, says they should get an exemption as the CRAs don't have programs that benefit kids, which could violate statute.
If we have a CRA plan, you know, particularly in Brownsville and Inglewood, that's saying it's not addressing, and it's hard for me to conceive that the only CRA that has a youth component is Cantonment. I mean, that would be tough. I mean, I would love to get clarification on that.
Commissioner Lumen May there. He's the only county commissioner that also sits on the Children's Trust Board. And the Children's Trust wants a public hearing. They have asked for a tax exemption. The county did approve a resolution yesterday, though, 3-0, to inform the trust they're seeking repayment in the amount of $1,134,025. The town of Century owes the state over $500,000 for relocating utilities as part of the Highway 29 repaving project. That resurfacing project now has been ongoing since January of last year. As part of the work, Century was required to pay to relocate water, sewer, and natural gas lines. That work originally estimated at about $250 million back in 2022, but with the work nearly done now, the total has increased to around $556,000. The Highway 29 resurfacing work should be done later this year. The town council and Century did approve a 15-year promissory note for FDOT in the full amount earlier this week. A woman was killed in a hit-and-run crash in Baldwin County yesterday. That happened at County Road 65 and Little Rock Road. That's just west of Foley. At about 8 o'clock last night, so far no arrests have been made. If you have any information, contact the Baldwin County Sheriff's Office. Well, more Americans now back at home after getting stuck in Haiti. A flight chartered by the federal government did land yesterday in Miami at the Miami International Airport. 80 people were on board. One passenger said the situation in Haiti is very bad. He couldn't even explain what he saw there. And all 9 Star Wars movies apparently returning to theaters this spring. They're going to be shown in chronological order.
Lucasfilm announced on Thursday that the Skywalker saga is being shown to celebrate the 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace. Fans will be able to see the entire series from the beginning, starting with The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith, followed by Star Wars A New Hope, The Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi, then ending with The Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and The Rise of Skywalker. The Skywalker saga begins on Star Wars Day, May the 4th. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And it is 8:35 right now at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Jake.
Not seeing any major slowdowns or accidents to report to you this time of morning. We do have an accident on Chemukla Highway, though. Not really causing any major slowdown in pace, but that's going to be at Chemukla and Education Drive. Other than that, not seeing anything. We had an accident earlier on Barrancas between H and I streets. Looks like that is pretty much all cleared up. And westbound on Fairfield at Hollywood, that seems to be clear as well. This traffic report is brought to you by Indeed.com. Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, Jake. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We will be dealing with showers and thunderstorms today. 70% chance of rain in the afternoon and evening. High today near 68 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. For Saturday, small showers possible in the morning. Then the skies clear out. High 68. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 48. For Sunday, sunny skies with a high near 70 degrees and a low near 56. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
58 in Pensacola, 58 in Gulf Breeze, and 60 in Milton right now. Your money now. This morning, the markets are mixed. Not a lot of changes. The Dow is up 557 at 39,786.94. The S&P down a fraction of a point at 52,41.38. NASDAQ down 1462 at 16,387.22. Your 10-year bond rate has changed down just slightly at 4.21%. Gold price is down 880 at 21,75.90. Silver price is down 7 cents at 24.93 this morning. Bitcoin down 1,730.99 at 63,585.99. And as usual, the rest of the crypto market seems to be trailing that. Tennessee is now the first state in the nation to pass legislation aimed at protecting musicians from artificial intelligence. Governor Bill Lee there signed the Elvis Act into law yesterday. That's meant to stop the distribution of AI-generated voices meant to sound like a real person. Chrysler recalling 280,000 vehicles. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says that issue stems from a manufacturing problem with the right and left airbag inflator that could cause them to rupture. Owners of 2018 through 2021 Chargers or Chrysler 300s are being asked to take their car into the dealership. And the House set to vote on a government spending package to try to avoid a partial government shutdown.
House Democratic Leader Hakeem Jeffries says he expects a substantial majority of Democrats to vote in favor of the bill. Most Republicans are expected to back the legislation as well, despite a group of conservative members who want to roll back spending. The Senate is expected to pass the legislation before the midnight deadline. The deal would fund the government through the end of the fiscal year. I'm Mark Mayfield.
It's 8:38. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio Pensacola.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
I said a hip hop, you don't stop. Rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big sharp it up.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's time to talk about things that happened this week in the news here on The Wrap on News Radio 92.3. Every week we end our 20 hours of broadcasting with a little half-hour conversation with a couple of friends in studio. Today we have John Hutchinson, a repeat offender. Good to have you back, John.
Thanks, Andrew. Always good to be here.
John, who I just learned is actually playing guitar at the Gulf Breeze Arts Festival tomorrow night.
That is correct.
Six o'clock?
Six o'clock.
Solo?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
And I want to be there in the early afternoon. I'm probably not going to be there again at night, but I would I would almost come back just to watch you play because I never have seen you play. And I know Candy was a big fan, and you know that must mean you're awesome. So
I don't know about that. I enjoy it. I'll put it that way.
A first time offender. Let's call him. maybe he'll get probation. Steve Strober, who is a former aide to Mike Kohler in District 2 in Escambia County, is now running his own campaign for District 1 in Escambia County. Steve, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you very much.
A retired naval aviator, Mustang. That means he was enlisted and then became an officer and part of the Aviation Officer Candidate School.
That's it.
Yep. AOCS, that we used to have here and do not have here anymore. And flew Seahawks, the big plane, the big helicopters.
Well, not the big guys, but probably the most prominent helicopter. I think everyone's pretty familiar with the airframe. It's the same airframe as
Black Hawk.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sorry, the medium-sized one. The Stallions, but the,
the
middle-sized. Okay, very, very common platform for the Navy. So let's start with this. The governor just signed the anti-public camping ordinance requiring that municipalities, which would be the city of Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, Milton, and also the counties of Santa Rosa and Escambia, would basically remove anybody who camps overnight from public lands. That includes sidewalks, that includes parking lots, that also includes parks, any buildings that the public owns or anywhere near them. And then there's an option that they can have an exemption to allow public camping in designated areas where there's also security and running water and things like this. And they can only do that for a year, and it has to not affect the property values in adjacent areas. I have no idea how they make that happen. Some people, myself included, have raised the question that this starts to look an awful lot like criminalizing poverty. At the same time, when homeless people are abusing the privilege of being in public areas and making it unusable for the rest of us, that's no good either. So your thoughts about this new law that starts to take effect in October, John?
Well, it sounds like a mishmash of a lot of probably good ideas that were just thrown together. No funding.
Was originally, but I think it all got taken off in the end, I think that's what happened.
Right.
Yeah.
But even then there wasn't enough.
Certainly not.
So if I'm a municipal governor, I'm looking at this going, so what are we supposed to do?
Right.
I mean, it's just very confusing in terms of how you handle that. But I agree with you. It is getting pretty close to saying, you know, if you sleep on a park bench, you know, you may want to get tapped on the shoulder.
Right.
So there's just too many questions in it to me to be definitive.
Have you ever fallen asleep in a park, on a bench, or at the beach?
At the beach, most definitely.
Every time I go.
Yeah, that's why you go.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it overnight now, I guess, but you couldn't before. But, you know, that's to me what it starts to look like is a behavior that would be unquestionably normal starts to become criminal.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Steve, your thoughts about this?
Well, I'm not for camping in public myself. That's been a big problem that Mike Kohler's office has had to deal with, and I think there's some big problems up in District 1 as well with that and some heavily wooded areas.
And District 3, we got the big one on Beggs Lane or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. I don't think the campers know that about this new law. So it's going to be a big job getting them all out of there. But I've experienced, I've seen them out there, you know, camping or whatever they call it. I think it's just, I don't know, hanging out a lot and panhandling. And when they're not panhandling, they're just hanging out.
I think about the new tax collector's office going in on 29 southwest of Brent there that used to be, a long time ago, was a playground. And then it became a homeless ground because it's right down the road from, you know, a shelter or a service facility, not a shelter. And then they started building the new facility there, which is going to have some public space in it. But clearly the homeless are displaced. They don't necessarily have another place to go. And, you know, they're trying to find a place to go. And, you know, it's a challenge. But that park was essentially unusable for most. I mean, no moms and kids wanted to go there.
Right.
And that's, I mean, that's a problem.
Right. Yeah. Are they just going to be moving back in under the 101?
That's what they
did before.
I don't know. I wonder if the county, I don't know. The county and the city are basically all saying we're going to wait and see how this plays out, work on the legal aspects of it. But do you guys, do you think the city and or the county is actually, they've talked about this a little bit, about creating a place, but then you got to find a place where they can do it, right?
Right.
Well, and then you got to pay for the facilities, the bathrooms, the water, the showers, those kinds of things. So it's one of those issues that you either fully accommodate or you fully eliminate. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do an in between, and I think that's where we all land is trying to do an in between. Mm-hmm. We don't want to fully accommodate because that just encourages more. And to Stephen's point, it's, that's not a good thing. But you don't want to fully eliminate either, because people have needs and people need help. And so that's the dilemma we face as a community, is what do you do with these people?
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say these people. I don't mean it to sound that way.
I know what you mean. Yeah, no, that's right.
But people who need a hand up, and some of them don't want a hand up. And so it's a dilemma. And I think DeSantis is trying at his best to say, if you're camping and you don't have a place to stay, you need to move on and go to another. I think he's trying to eliminate it or force communities to accommodate them in such a way that that makes it work. So it's tough.
And, you know, look, we are a victim of our own goodness.
Yep.
I mean, why do we have panhandlers? Because people give to panhandlers.
Exactly.
If we didn't give, they wouldn't be there, period. I mean, if everybody stopped giving for a month, they'd go away.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know what they would do exactly, but they wouldn't do it here. And also social services. We have so many different organizations providing services, which I contribute to a lot of these agencies because I think they do a lot of good.
Yep.
But if there were no services, again, these people are not all deranged and crazy and addicted and whatever. They're sometimes engaging in a rational transaction, which is good weather, generous people, and social services. Let's go there. And if those things didn't happen, they wouldn't be here, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, my wife and I, actually, when I was a young Marine, we had a homeless person in our house for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
I won't tell you who he was, just somebody we knew. And I'll never do that again, even if I know the person. But it was, I've got a heart like everybody else does. I want to help, but I don't want to create a magnet either.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know. What are your thoughts?
We had one time, and this was totally a God thing. Okay. Like, you know, I met a couple who were homeless, and God was like, you know, take them home. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm calling my wife first. Mm-hmm. And just as we were single, you know, we were just the two of us. We didn't have kids yet.
Yep.
And, I mean, it was a real blessing of an experience. It genuinely was. Fred and Ramona, I remember them vividly to this day. Great people, wonderful, just kind of down on their luck and in between situations or whatever. And we kept them at our house for a couple of days and fed them and took care of them. And then, you know, they moved on to wherever they went.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't recommend it. And we certainly haven't done that since we had kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wonder sometimes if... you know, we have social service agencies that do a lot of this. I've been involved with MANA for years, and they certainly help in this area. There's other agencies that do this. But when government gets involved in it, I think it changes the face of it. Mm-hmm. And so maybe if we supported social service agencies more, our churches and those kinds of things, then government wouldn't have to be a problem for government. And I think the private sector could solve it and could deal with it much better.
Yeah.
But because government gets involved in it, there are a lot of folks who say, well, I'm not helping a person. They can go get food stamps, or there's lots of programs for them. So why do I need to help?
Right.
And so I think that's part of the dilemma, too, is that government has a hard time getting on that level, whereas folks like MANA and Loaves and Fishes and those kinds of people really are on the ground and know how to handle it.
Knowing the people, staring them in the eye, spending time with them, all of that kind of stuff. And I think, and to some degree, the churches, I think, have failed the gospel mission, right? To take care of the poor, the widow, the orphan, the incarcerated, you know, and some of them do.
Yes.
And many of them do not. And, you know, that creates a space into which government comes, because there's a vacuum and there's a problem that has to be solved. So we got the wrap here. We're talking with John Hutchinson and Steve Stroberger. Let's get traffic from Jake. Jake?
Not seeing anything on our roadways to report. No major slowdowns and no accidents reported by FHP. If you see anything out there on the roadways, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. I don't know if either of you have a thought about it. I've been talking about it a lot this morning because it's sort of the most recent news, but we found out the Escambia Children's Trust collects about $10 million a year and $500,000 ad valorem taxes from us because we passed it a couple years ago. But a small slice of that money, about $300,000 a year, is really not supposed to go to them. Maybe there's dispute, but it's supposed to go to the Community Redevelopment Agency that takes care of, you know, the blighted, struggling areas, basically. And they say the money should stay with them, maybe even by statute, because it's supposed to go to help kids. And at the CRA, it won't. They also say, whoa, this is a sudden announcement. Can you give us some time? Yesterday, the county commission, led by Stephen Berry primarily, over the concerns of Lumen May, I thought, and Mike Kohler voted with Stephen Berry as well. They said, no, give us the money. We're going to take this money and give it to the CRA. So now we have a tax increase that's going to do CRA things instead of going to help kids. And they didn't wait, which I thought would have been the right move, is let's wait and just see. This is not urgent. It's been 3 years this has been developing. It doesn't have to be decided today. Jeff Bergosh is not in attendance, and we don't have a District 4 representative. So we're actually missing a person to, you know, and I know Robert Bender would have been good input, and whoever comes in his place. And I don't know. I don't get why they didn't just wait.
Yeah. It's another example, as I said earlier, of the government very inefficiently trying to handle situations, in this case, helping children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I love children and
me too.
And support organizations that do that. But it's an example of how inefficient they do it. And so now we are paying our property tax dollars. We voted 60% of people approved
right.
to add to your property tax to help the trust to help children. But now a portion of that's going to the county for them to do what they please with. And anytime you put a pot of money together mm-hmm. in Northwest Florida, particularly in Escambia County, anytime there's a pot of money sitting there, somebody will come and try to appropriate it. And this feels like that's what this is. The Escambia Trust needs more time. They stumbled out of the starting blocks.
A lot of stumbling
because they had no plan.
And right.
That's another example. We're just going to pass something. We have no plan. What are they going to do? Oh, it's good things for the children. Well, what is that? Nobody knew all that. We just passed it. Okay. So that's probably on us too. But now you've got all that money sitting there and with plans that are developing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the county needs to give them more time. They really do.
Well, you know, unfortunately, they made the decision yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
So, but my frustration with this is that now they're going to sue to get the money back. You got to assume.
Yeah.
There's going to be litigation over this.
Yeah.
And now you would have spent some money on lawyers' fees haggling over it.
Yeah.
Now you're going to spend more money than you would have spent otherwise. And then in the end, I mean, who knows, but we're all losing in this process. The Children's Trust has about $8 million in reserves
right.
because we haven't found enough programs,
right.
But the CRA has money in reserve, I think $6 or $7
million. Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of Triumph has got a bunch of money they haven't spent yet.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Money's sitting there waiting yep. to be used. Thoughts, Steve?
Well, we don't use that money. I mean, we got that big pot of money in the Children's Trust we're not using. I think that if they're going to use it in the neighborhoods, in the CRAs,
mm-hmm.
then they better at least have a plan on how they're going to spend it. They can spend it on playgrounds and stuff like that. They can spend it on the kids still. But I think they're just kind of waiting for them to spend money, and they're not really managing that money at all.
Yeah, and the assessment from the Children's Trust folks was there's only one CRA cantonment that has anything that seems to be even children benefit related.
Yeah.
I just think of it as, you know, you could have voted to just return the money to the taxpayers.
Exactly.
I mean, that didn't happen. No, we'll keep the money for the county. Yeah. I just feel like we passed a tax increase. It was supposed to help kids, and now it's not. It's just going to the CRA, and that's pretty frustrating on top of the frustrations we have with the thing to begin with.
Yeah.
I'm optimistic about Lindsay Cannon.
Yes.
You know, I hear very, very good things about her, and I'm optimistic that things are going to turn around, but you know, I'm often optimistic and disappointed. So I hope that's not the case here.
If it leads back to more lawsuits, then I think that we're back in our comfort zone.
No, don't even.
Well, you know, the Children's Trust concept has been very successful in other parts
right.
of the state. And I don't know if we can learn from them. I'm all for continuing the concept of it, but we've got to get better plans in place. We can't have an organization where everybody just comes with their hands out, and that's how this started. And I knew it would. When you put a lot of money in a pot, here comes everybody who wants a piece of it, whether they have a good plan or a bad plan, and it puts the trust in a difficult position. So I wonder if there aren't plans and programs that the trust itself could initiate.
Yeah,
and fund.
Patterned off of successes elsewhere.
Yes, and mm-hmm. instead of just funding the existing 501c3s we have out there. Where can we help children the most, and if we have this much money to do it, and look at it from that angle, and I think that might make it more successful.
Well, what did we learn with the American Rescue Plan and all of the other massive government funding programs is there are going to be some real needs that are going to be met, and there's going to be some genuine fraud and a substantial amount of it, and then somewhere in between, you know, things that are sort of put together because the money is available that aren't really justified as good investments necessarily, but, hey, we got to spend the money somehow, and man, I'm terrified when government has money it's got to spend.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it doesn't do good with problems it's got to solve and it doesn't really have money.
Yeah.
When it's got just surplus money laying around to spend on something, it'll find a way.
Yes. I think rather than I've said the same thing about Triumph, and Triumph is a wonderful thing. It's funded some really, really great projects that have brought great jobs to this area, and it'll continue to do so, I'm sure. But I've said the same thing about Triumph. Instead of them just standing there waiting for people to come ask for the money, They should do an analysis, and I know they've done some of this. Rick Harper is just awesome with Triumph, on where that money could be best spent in Northwest Florida to create jobs. And then they themselves go out and create that program or that project or fund others to do it, but with a specific plan, with specific goals, and put that money to work.
Or, I mean, almost the sort of the RFQ kind of concept or something. Like, yes. You know, here's a general direction we'd like to see. Yes. Anybody interested?
Yes.
Come to, you know, instead of just having to go them and, you know, shoot it up against the wall and see what happens, which, right. You know, oftentimes leads to a no.
Yeah.
We got the wrap going on. We got Steve Stroberger. He is a candidate for District 1, former aide to District 2 Commissioner Mike Kohler in Escambia County. John Hutchinson, who has done a lot of things. And now he plays guitar and talks on the radio and, you know, takes care of his dogs and fishes. Jake has got traffic on the fives. Jake?
All right. Not seeing anything on our roadways to report to you this morning. Everything is checking in clear. If you do see anything on our roadways slowing us down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That phone number is 437-1620. I am Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
So one of the stories that came out this week that... I have a different one. This is because I know John's a passion of yours. I'm going to ask you.
All right.
I did not watch all of the county commission meeting. I actually just watched the end because that's the stuff on the Children's Trust that I wanted to see. I know they had a big conversation about Baptist.
Yes.
And city sent Alex in there to ask for a couple million dollars.
Yes.
Which they sort of soft got, a commitment on. And it's hard to be optimistic about another land deal for development when we've got so many land deals that don't, at least yet, turn out.
Exactly. It's speculation, and there's nothing wrong with speculation per se if you have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got a private entity, Baptist Hospital, very well respected, and they've got some property they want to give the city. Well, they don't know if it's an asset or a liability.
Right.
And so before I would run off and invest a lot of money in something that I wasn't sure was an asset or a liability, I would first ask myself, do I need it? Do I want it?
Yeah.
If you want to sell me a 1962 automobile, I would want to think, well, what am I going to do with it first? And we haven't answered that question. Affordable housing, they throw things out like that, but nobody has a plan on what to do with the property. But yet, we're investing taxpayer money.
Right.
State, city, county, taxpayer money into something that we have no clue. Is it going to pan out? What are we going to do with it if we get it? Where we have a private landholder sitting over here who really should be liable for any of those issues, not taxpayers.
Yeah.
So that's my concern. I'm not saying it's a wrong thing to do. I'm not saying it's bad because I think there's a lot of good that could come from it. But what's the plan? What's the plan in a systematic way? What is our return going to be? If I'm going to invest money in something, I want to know what the return is. It doesn't have to be financial. It could be human.
Right.
In terms of meeting human needs. And I don't think we've defined that yet, and that's my concern with that whole project.
Before we were on the air, you had asked me the question, if I had $10,000 to invest in a bond towards being a right holder in the Baptist tribe,
would you do it?
No.
Because
no. I don't even know what I'm buying.
I wouldn't either. And no private speculators are doing it either. So
right.
That should tell you something.
And we have, OLF 8 and the Tech Park and Community Maritime Park, some of which may pay off, some of which may, that's right. The problem. Steve?
Well, I think John's right. I think it's both a liability and an asset. It's both of those, but it ain't going to be an asset until later. I think they should have had a plan way before this to find a way to, liquidate the property, build it into something else, whatever it's going to be. It can't stand the way it is. I don't think it can. I've heard rumors of it becoming a homeless shelter and some other things. I don't think anyone in that neighborhood wants that to happen. But something there definitely needs to be a plan. I don't think the taxpayers should be paying for that plan.
Yeah, and that's the problem is we have sort of a generalized idea that we'd like to do a good thing, which is noble.
Right.
We've got problems that we'd like to generally solve, which is good. And then the question is, well, how do we get from here to there? And I appreciate DC's, position. I appreciate Andrade's position. I appreciate, a lot of people that have an interest in solving this somehow or other. And even the people who live in that area who feel like, hey, I thought we were told this and now all of a sudden that's not happening and Baptist is just gone for us, which is a big loss for that community. So, it's kind of back to the thing we were talking about before, government having a bunch of money or having invested a bunch of money in a project and now what?
Right.
And it is pulling teeth to get anything Community Maritime Park past the council or anything at OLF 8 past the commission or...
Right.
because government is not a great land speculator.
It's not.
Or developer.
It
not
is
usually.
Not. It is not.
Well, Steve Stroberger, John Hutchinson, man, the time goes by pretty quickly. Thank you guys for being here today. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks for having us, Andrew.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.